In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
Today, as you heard in the book of the stories of the saints in the Synaxarium, Father Schnuda read us about a very important man in the history of our Christianity, a very important prophet, and you heard Father Barsoom lead us in a Coptic hymn dedicated to the same prophet, who is who. His icon is there, Saint John the Baptist. Saint John the Baptist was a great prophet, and those who attended yesterday's liturgy, the church also celebrated another great man yesterday, another great prophet. Perhaps he lived about 900 years before Saint John the Baptist. Anyone know who was celebrated yesterday? His name also starts with J. Jonah the prophet. So both of these are great men who lived at different times, but they had something in common. What do they have in common? We just said it, they're both prophets. So what is a prophet? Sometimes we think a prophet is someone who could predict the future, who could tell of things to come, but that's not the correct definition of a prophet. A prophet is simply someone who's given a message from God to deliver to the people. Sometimes God may give him messages of things to come, yes. But these two prophets had a very important message that they were given by God that's more important than telling the future, we could perhaps say. And what was that message that they both preached? Repentance. They both preached repentance in different times, in different places. Jonah was sent, and as you know his story is very short. His book, as Abuna told us, on Saturday, his book is very short, and it's not hard to understand. He encourages all of us to read it. His story is very, very wonderful, how he tried to flee from the Lord at first, and as you know, he was swallowed by a whale, and then he finally went and preached. And his preaching was, like you said, repentance, and he preached that message to a Gentile nation, not to a Jewish nation. He was hesitating at first, but he did go. And his preaching to the Gentile city of Nineveh was very effective and turned the whole city to repent. Saint John the Baptist also preached for a short period of time, and his message, as you all know, was very effective, and he was very effective in preparing an evil and sinful generation just before the coming of the Lord so that they can be ready to accept the Lord. And he preached, as you know, to the Jewish nation. So both were prophets, both were delivering the same message at different times to different people. And as we all know now, a prophet is someone who delivers a message, and their message was that of repentance. Both were effective in their ministry. Both names, John and Jonah, have similarity, and they lead us in, I'm not sure if it's Hebrew or Greek, but to the word compassion. God is compassionate and merciful and forgiving. So we repent not because we have a God who is tough with us and he'll destroy us if we don't repent. Sometimes we need that message, like the Ninevites did, to wake them up. But we repent more importantly because God is loving and is willing to take us back at any time. So we will just speak about 3 points about repentance. And you all know what repentance is, so this, don't worry, will go very quickly. But before, we have a small demonstration. Pretend this carpet here, this red carpet, is a highway. And if you're facing this way, you're driving this way, you're good. You're going up. You're getting closer and closer to what? To where? To heaven, to the Lord. But it's a big highway, and sometimes we get messed up. We don't have the GPS. Sometimes we're going sideways, sometimes we're going straight back. And unfortunately, you don't know this, but the back of this road is leading to a sharp cliff. So the more you're going zooming this way, you know, God is looking down from you above and he's saying, no, you're going the wrong way. He sends you prophets. He sent John the Baptist, he sent Jonah, and he's saying, turn around, turn around. And you have your headphones on, you're not listening, you can't really hear his voice, so you keep zooming. You're going that way. What's going to happen? You're going to die. God forbid. If you keep going and you don't turn around, you're going to die. So what do you need to do if you don't want to die? make a legal U-turn, right? Make a U-turn and go back this way. So sometimes we complicate repentance and make it something more complicated than it is. We just want to talk about 3 points. What is repentance? Who should repent? And how should we repent? So we said repentance, and Father Tedros Malatu, who visits us often, uses this expression with us. Repentance is making a U-turn. Okay? So repentance is making a U-turn. If there's something in your life that's going the wrong way, well, make a U-turn. Take it seriously, and you have to stop and go the other way. What if you're going the right way? Is there any room for repentance? Say you're doing everything right. You're not doing anything bad. No mistakes. Any room for repentance? Well, first of all, there's no such thing because there's none of us. So that was kind of a silly question to ask. Because even the holiest of the saints, there's something trivial that they have to work on. But say they got rid of all their vices, everything bad they stopped doing. They still need to repent because they need to move closer to the Lord. Okay? Repentance isn't just stopping doing things that take me away from the Lord, but repentance is also doing more things more deeply that bring me closer to the Lord. Because there's no point when God looks down and sees me going this way and he says, repent, and I say, okay, I'm going to stop here. But this whole world's passing away. I need to turn around and move closer to him. Okay? So that covers actually the first two questions. What is repentance? Very easy. Repentance is turning around, doing more good things, stopping the bad things. Shouldn't say doing less bad things. Of course, if you need to gradually, fine. But you have to stop doing the bad things, not just do less of them. And if you stop doing the bad things and you stay still, then the devils are not going to leave you alone. They're going to attack you and make you slide downhill because you don't really notice it, but this highway is graduated. So if you stop still, you're actually going to move backwards. If you want to move forward, you have to turn around and make an effort to go forward. It's not going to happen without your willingness and your effort. Now we want to discuss, and we said the second question was, who should repent? So who should repent? The evil people, right? They should repent. Yes, okay. Who else should repent? Everyone. Every saint is called to repentance, because if you're not repenting, repenting is you're coming closer to the Lord. So every saint wants to come closer and closer to the Lord. There's no saint who say, I'm good here. I've reached this status. Whatever I'm doing, helping in the church or helping at home or helping abroad, and that's good enough for me. No. When you taste the Lord is sweet, so you want to taste more of the Lord. No one is satisfied with their spiritual life where they are. Everyone should be striving to get closer and closer to taste more and more of the sweetness of the Lord. And now we finally come to how we should repent. And of course, this is a huge topic, and we only have a few minutes, so we're just going to cover briefly. The Bible is full of examples. The lives of the saints are full of examples of repentance. So if we need to know how to repent, we have many who preceded us who are experts. They have masters in repentance. And there's one, as was read today in today's gospel from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, about a woman who we could say is an expert in repentance. So let's see what she did. Okay? This woman in the city was a sinner. Here, the Bible is being very polite when he says the woman was a sinner, because they could have used very, very hurtful words to describe her. But anyways, she's a sinner. We don't want to get into what kind of sins were in her past. But a sinner here doesn't mean she just, you know, told trivial sins. She was well known to be a sinner. Okay, behold, a woman who was in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, she knew that Jesus was somewhere, what did she do? She brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Let's just quickly go through what she did so that we could also learn to do like she did. Many of us are weeping for various different reasons. But the church calls us and the Lord tells us to be joyful at all times. It is fine for me to weep if my weeping is causing me to come closer to the Lord. That's holy weeping that's leading me to repent and come closer to the Lord. If my weeping is actually self-pity, hopelessness, and just looking inward, not looking to the Lord, not sitting at His feet, not standing behind Him so that He can protect me, then careful, because the weeping could be actually not holy weeping. Not every feeling that we feel, we can say is a holy feeling. We can distinguish easily. If it's leading me to repent, come back to the Lord, good. If it's leading me to do other things, not good. This woman, by the way, outwardly was a sinner compared to the Pharisee, who outwardly was a very righteous man. Knows the law of Moses, knows the scripture well, memorized the scripture. Unfortunately, though, but the inside wasn't so good. The inside, the Lord Jesus was sitting with him, and instead of learning from the Lord, he was judging the Lord and saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he's not just a prophet, teacher, prophet, he's your Lord. This man, if he was a prophet, he would know who this woman is, that she's a sinner. Well, this woman is a sinner, but you're not a sinner? This woman actually turned out that her inside was full of three important things that helped her repent. Full of love, full of hope, and full of faith. How do you know she had any faith? Anyone know? The Bible is full of truth. So whatever is said in here, you could take it as truth. So how do we know that she was full of faith? Who said she was full of faith? Jesus told her at the end, the Lord told her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So for sure she had faith. And the Lord can see, the Lord who saw the thoughts of the Pharisee who was judging him and judging the woman, the same Lord saw her faith and he motivated and encouraged her. Now, how do you know she had any love in her heart? And love here, of course, we're talking about godly love. We're not talking about any distorted meaning of love. Okay? So what could possibly compel someone who is well known in the city to be a sinner to come into a Pharisee's house, and the Pharisees, you know, are very tough, outwardly, not tough with themselves. What would compel her to come uninvited unless she had heard about the Lord, how compassionate he was, how loving he was, how forgiving he was, and her heart was full of love. But we want proof here, again, from the Bible. We want proof that she was full of love. When the Lord wanted to show the Pharisee that his way of thinking was incorrect, his way of thinking was not helping him nor helping anyone around him, he gave him a simple example. He said, someone who owed 50, someone who owed 500, this one loved, which one loved more? And he said, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven more. Okay? Then what did the Lord turn and say to the woman? Or he said to Simon about the woman. Said to you, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, the Lord's not hiding. She was a sinner, I'm a sinner, my sins are many. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Okay? So again, the Lord testifies of her that her heart is full of love. How do we know she had any hope? Even though she had so many sins, she was well known in the society to be a sinner. She came to express her repentance at the Lord's feet, and she had hope in the Lord that He is able to help her. And we all need this point. We all need this hope. I can't ever lose hope in the Lord, even though the devil sometimes tries to attack me and tell me, no hope for you. What you've done is very shameful. No hope. And why is the devil so preoccupied by trying to make us lose our hope? Because the devil has no hope. The devil has been condemned, and he's trying to take as many down with him. And he's crazy, like a crazy man who's coming to get and to deceive and to trick and to make stumble as many as he can and to tell them, no hope for you. But of course there's hope for us because Christ died for me. Why would Christ go through this whole experience culminated in shedding his blood on the cross if it wasn't to save me? Why is he still leaving me alive now? If I die, then that's it. When I die, that's it. Either, you know, I died in the hope of rising again with Christ, or I died denying Christ, and God forbid, that's it. But here I'm still living. There's still hope in me, and I know God is capable, loving, and forgiving. By the way, it's very dangerous to say that I'm hopeless. Sometimes we say it lightly. I'm hopeless. If you say you're hopeless, you're saying you don't believe in God. You're saying there's no God. You're saying God's blood is useless to you. No one is hopeless. You're still alive. There's hope. Okay? So how do I repent? I'm going to choose to repent like this wonderful woman did. Repentance in hope, faith, and love. So I have to stand behind him, weeping over my sins. If I weep even over my sins, not over bad things, but if I weep over my sins anywhere other than the Lord's feet, not going to help me. If I weep over my sins night and day and with my own effort, try, but don't lean on the Lord, not going to be victorious. I need to weep at his feet and struggle so that my struggle is not in vain, but through hope in him. We also notice the Bible very clearly says that she stood behind the Lord. Sometimes we want to stand ahead of the Lord, tell the Lord how to solve my problem, whether it's a spiritual problem or anything else. No, she stood behind the Lord. You stand behind the Lord, you let him do the heavy lifting, because I can't do the heavy lifting. I can't struggle on my own. The devil would just flick me off. If I stand behind the Lord, the devil can't come near me, can't touch me. If I stand behind the Lord, I'm protected from the devil, from all his tricks. We said already that the devil is like a crazy, ravenous creature who wants to destroy us and take us with him in his place of eternal damnation. If I weep at the Lord's feet in humility like she did, she bowed down and kissed his feet, and she wiped them with the most precious thing, the hair of her body. We see we often tend to spend time, you know, dressing up her hair, but she, in humility, used her hair to wipe the Lord's feet. And if I wipe his feet in humility, repenting over my sins, I always have hope, never lose hope. And therefore I have joy. Even in tears of repentance, I have joy because I know that he, first of all, will forgive my sins. Of course, I have to make an effort to repent. He'll forgive my sins and he'll give me victory over my sins. That this weeping with the joy was explained many times by the forefathers. If you're just weeping without the joy, then careful. That's hopelessness. If you're weeping with the joy and hope in the Lord, know that he will save you. Yes, he will forgive you. He will save you. He will give you victory over our sins. But it can't come like that. You have to do your part as well and show him that you're serious. Then we can all come and see how sweet the Lord really is, taste how sweet the life of repentance is, as did all the saints. Don't lose hope in him. After all that he has done for me, what would be worse than losing hope in him? It's like, pardon the expression, it's as if I spit in the Lord's face. That's what losing hope in the Lord means. He did all this, and I say, no, I don't think it's good enough for me. Let's not say that, but let's come to the Lord so that he can give us a new life full of repentance, bless our lives, and take us back into his loving arms. Glory be to God forever. Amen.